Only Shema Bhagavan Shema Radhi Kacharya also the Sisila AC. Bhakta Vadana Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachar Hari Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prams Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopa Dasham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Shamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Ananda Koti, Vaishnava Vrindagi Jai, Samaveta, Bhakta Vrindagi Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the Samadavotis, all glories to the Samadavotis, all glories to the Samadavotis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Bhataya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasota Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paschatadisha Tarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 1, Verse 11. Karmani punya nivahani sumangalani. Gaya jagat kali malapa haranti kritva. Kala mana niva sata yadu deva gehe. Pundara kam samagamam munayo nishrista. Karmani, fruit of rituals, punya, piety, nivahani, which bestow, sumangalani, most auspicious, agayat, chanting, jagat, for the whole world, kali, the current degraded age, mala, impurities, apaharani, which take away, kritva, having performed, kala atmana, by him who is the very personification of time, nivasata, residing, yadudeva, lord of the yadus, gehe, in the home, pindarakam, to the pilgrimage site known as Pindaraka, samagaman, they went, munaya, the sages, nishrishta, being let out. Okay. Translation, the sages, Vishwamitra, Asita, Kanva, Duravasa, Bhrigu, Angira, Kasyapa, Vamadeva, Atri and Vashishta, along with Narada and others, once performed fruitive rituals that award abundant pious results, bring great happiness, and take away the sins of Kali Yuga for the whole world by merely being recounted. The sages duly executed these rituals in the home of the chief of the Yadus, Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna. After Lord Krishna, who was staying in Vasudeva's house as time personified, respectfully sent the sages off at the conclusion of the ceremonies, they went to the holy place called Pindaraka. Purport. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami begins to narrate the story of the Brahminical curse that arose against the Yadu dynasty by the Lord's desire. According to Sridhar Swami, certain religious rituals, such as the Aswamedha Yajna, generate pious reactions. On the other hand, activities such as caring for one's children give immediate pleasure in the present only, whereas rituals performed as atonement take away sinful reactions. But the religious activities mentioned in verse 11, which are indicated by the words karmani, punya, nivahani, sumangalani, gayat, jagat, kalimala, apaharani, were pious in all respects. They produced abundant pious results and great joy, and were so potent that merely glorifying these rituals relieves one from all the sinful reactions of Kali Yuga. The sages called to Vasudeva's house to perform such auspicious ritualist religious activities were satisfied with proper gifts and then sent by Krishna to Pindaraka, a nearby holy place situated about 2 miles from the Arabian Sea on the coast of Gujarat. Its current name is still Pindaraka. Significantly, Lord Krishna is mentioned here as Kalatmana, the form of time, or the Supersoul. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to Arjuna as time personified. Appearing on the battle of Kurukshetra to destroy all the kings and armies who constitute a burden to the earth. Similarly, Kalatmana Nivasata, Yadu Deva Gehe, Krishna was staying in the home of his father Vasudeva as time personified, thus indicating that the time was approaching for the destruction of his own dynasty according to his desire. Translation, the sages Vishwamitra, Asita, Kanva, Duravasa, Bhrigu, Angira, Kasyapa, Vamadeva, Atri, and Vashishta, along with Narada and others, once perform fruitive rituals that award abundant pious results, bring great happiness, and take away the sins of Kali Yuga for the whole world by merely being recounted. The sages duly executed these rituals in the home of the chief of the Yadus, Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna. After Lord Krishna, who was staying in Vasudeva's house as time personified, respectfully sent the sages off at the conclusion of the ceremonies, they went to the holy place called Pindaraka. So here begins the story of the curse of the Yadu dynasty, and then after that we see the result was the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. So the actual reasons have already been explained, and here the details of the event are there. So we see a great variety of exalted sages, very famous sages, gathered for these rituals, which are here called karmas, and they were pious karmas, most auspicious, Punyanivahani and Sumangalani, very, very auspicious, such that they can take away the sins of Kali Yuga, which was approaching. So this, in one sense, is not really necessary if Krishna is present, because Krishna himself can dissolve all karmas or whatever. It's not necessary that one do rituals at all. Nevertheless, we find that Krishna conformed to the rules and regulations of the duties of the king within the Varnashram system, or the duties of the royalty, and he arranged for this ceremony to take place, and all the exalted sages participated in this, including Narada Muni. So in this way it was highly authorized. Now Krishna himself is the source of all punya. So in that sense, nothing is necessary if Krishna is present. Here we see, though they performed all these rituals for auspiciousness, the end result was that the Yadus got cursed. So in one sense, the formula did not work properly because they got a bad result, superficially speaking. In which the Yadu dynasty did not prosper, but rather destroyed itself. So this is an indication of the nature of these rituals for material results or for piety. They can sometimes have opposite results, no matter what, even if they're performed properly. On the other hand, if one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, no matter what happens, there's always success. Yeah? Because we're talking about what happens spiritually, not what happens materially. So we can never predict what will happen in the material world. If we follow scriptures, then we have a little more definite way of predicting future. If we do more punyas and we reduce sin, then we will get more happiness. Well, that's a general prediction we can make. But we can never predict when one person who is doing pious activities will commit a sin and consequently have to suffer. Okay? So we have an example of that in the case of King Nriga, who was doing all sorts of pious activities of donating cows to brahmanas. And then he made a mistake because he gave the same cow twice to two different brahmanas, and so the brahmana cursed him for that. So in spite of all of his punyas for getting nice results, ultimately he got cursed and he became a lizard as a result of that. So of course we can say it was an accident, and it was but nevertheless, in the material world we can never predict what will happen. So we can make all sorts of arrangements by karma, but we can never 100% predict the result of how that's going to come out. Because the nature of the human being is he makes mistakes. It could be accidental, it could be intentional. Either way, there is some possibility that the proper result will not come from that. Regarding bhakti, the Lord takes a different approach, and he says even if you do commit mistakes, it doesn't really matter. And in fact, the remedy for making mistakes in all these karma rituals is remembrance of the Supreme Lord. This will take away all the faults that we do in these different karmas. For that reason,
our acharyas say that if you do these different samskaras and rituals, etc., likely there's going to be mistakes, because in Kali Yuga we cannot do things perfectly. So, nevertheless, we're told not that we should avoid these things, but that along with this, then we have to also do bhakti and chant the holy name. And this makes up for all the faults that may occur in all these different rituals. So that's, of course, for Kali Yuga. Now, in previous ages, they were less likely to make mistakes. Still, possibility is there. So again, the remedy is this worship of the Lord and surrender to the Supreme Lord. In this case, of course, we should not predict any mistake, because Krishna is also there. This took place in Vasudeva's house, the father of Krishna's house. So we shouldn't think any mistake was made. And Krishna himself is there as well to absolve everyone for making big mistakes. Furthermore, we had the great sages there participating in the rituals. So how could they be full of faults? So in one sense, there was no fault on their part, on anyone's part. Yet still we got a bad result. The Yadu dynasty got cursed and got destroyed as in spite of all the rituals. So this shows the nature of karmas. There's no certain result for them in any case. But as a result, we can also worship the Lord, and this will absolve us of mistakes we make in those rituals. Within bhakti itself, one can also make mistakes. And then what do we do? Do we go back and do some pious activities to compensate? No. The advice given is that we continue the process of bhakti only. And this will absolve us of any mistakes made within the process of bhakti also. And therefore, in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, even if you commit the most sinful activity, you are still my devotee, provided that you continue the process of bhakti. And that process of bhakti absolves one of the fault. Whatever fault or obstacle appears because of the mistake or the sin, that is destroyed by the process of bhakti itself. So with bhakti, bhakti is the only resort. With karmas, then we have to go back to bhakti to counteract the mistakes made within the karmas. So this shows the dependence of karma upon bhakti, whereas bhakti itself is independent. The same for jnana. If there is mistaken jnana, then our only shelter again is bhakti, that we can get free of the mistake by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So this shows again the independent nature of bhakti and the dependent nature of karma and jnana. They are dependent upon the process of bhakti for ultimate purification and perfection of their performance. So the sages had gathered, the great sages had gathered, and then they went off. And then we find that somehow or other, the younger members of the Yadu dynasty insulted them, and this caused the curse. So though the sages had no fault in one sense, because they did this whole ceremony, etc., they became upset with the young members of the Yadu dynasty. And then, because they played a joke on them, when they should respect them, they did not respect them properly, so they got cursed. But we know that these curses also are very special. In this case, we have exalted sages. Even Narada was there. They're not ordinary curses. They also have some benefit within them. So we see that Narada Muni curses the two sons of Kuvera. But then from that, they got benefit, because they got the mercy of Krishna ultimately. So when a great sage gives a curse, then we can see there's it's not simply malicious, but there's great benefit for the person as well. So here, it is a little more difficult to see the great benefit because we see that as a result of the curse, then the yadus got destroyed. What is the benefit in that? But as we see from the previous explanation, this was simply an arrangement of the Lord to have the yadus participate in a spiritual body, in the spiritual pastimes. This is just a pretext for having the yadus disappear. So in that sense, there was no fault of the sages in cursing, because this was an arrangement of the Lord for disappearance of the yadus. So in that sense, it was a benefit to the yadus, because they should not be separate from the Lord in his pastimes. If the Lord disappears, they should also disappear. Disappear, but they remain united with the Lord, having pastimes in Dwarka. So, therefore, the curse itself, though it looks superficially to be rather inauspicious, ultimately it was an arrangement of the Lord for a great benefit for the yadus. It was a means of disappearance of the Lord and a means of disappearance of the yadus. So in this way, the Lord could end his pastimes. So the sages, therefore, get no fault for cursing the family of the Supreme Lord.
These things are mostly interpreted by the acharyas, that this is the aspect of personification of time and love and other things. The explanations given by the acharyas come from directly from the Lord, or the intuitions of what they get, how it happens.
Well, personification of time actually is not an interpretation, it's a direct statement, kalatmana. He was himself the form of time. But of course we know time is material. The Lord is not material. So therefore ultimately we have to say he's the controller of time. And here, Kala, of course, refers to destiny or whatever. So therefore, we say the plan of the Lord was fulfilled through the process of time. So the Lord was present as time personified, means he was there to arrange for the future of the yadus, which means that they got cursed and they killed each other and they died, but at the same time that they entered into their spiritual pastimes.
And the aspect of blessing given by devotees through the curse, it comes only after the repentance of the person who is affected, or was done the offense. The aspect of mercy flowing out from devotees through the point of cursing, like Narada cursed and Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manikriva, they were blessed for the darshan of the Lord. But it came only after the repentance of the person who was offended. Like the Yadus also here, they also repent for their offenses. Without that, the mercy cannot be given by the devotees.
Well, it depends on the situation. In the case of the sons of Kuvera, the Lord, or Narada Muni, had wanted to chastise them or punish them for their pride. So that was a case of fault on the part of the sons of Kuvera. And he succeeded also in doing that because they became trees and then they realized their mistake, etc. Then they get the mercy of Krishna. In the case of the yadus, we cannot say that the curse was a fault on their part. Though superficially we can say that the boys maybe had a fault by joking and not respecting the elders. But ultimately we see this is all an arrangement of the Lord, so there's no particular fault. We cannot say that in the case of the sons of Kuvera. That was not an arrangement that they became proud and they insulted Narada Muni. No, that was an actual fault on their part. So in one sense, it's a little bit different case here. So this whole arrangement was made by the Supreme Lord. We can say even the curse of the sages is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord also.
committing sins, and they call the Purohit to the house, and like many days nowadays what they do, they call people to do Sudarshan Homa, this Homa, to get rid of all the sins. So this will be just like, I keep doing sins, then doing the rituals, then again, like
well,
Christians.
That is criticized in the Bhagavatam itself, like the elephant bathes in the river and then comes out and throws dust on itself, then it has to go back and bathe in the river. So the process of atonement is a continual process because one continually commits sinful activity. But if one does that consciously, commits sin, understanding one can do atonements, that becomes more offensive, and therefore the atonement doesn't work. So it's like committing sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. If we commit sinful activity thinking that by chanting Hare Krishna we get absolved of sin, then we don't get absolved of the sin, we get more reaction. So it backfires, that type of mentality backfires, and we end up with no good result at all. So nevertheless, the idea of doing atonements for sinful activity is there to give people an opportunity to execute pious acts rather than sinful acts, and also change their mentality to avoid violence and sinful acts and do more charitable works. So in this way, they get out of a selfish mentality. So that's the basic idea behind the atonement.
The question is, like, the individual who commits the sinful activity, he must perform the sermon rather than inviting others, because why should bring others?
It depends. Sometimes one can do that. One can do one's own atonements, and they do that. People do vratas, etc., to atone for different things, or fasting, or whatever. So that's there. And then there's more elaborate things. In this case, we see there's a whole elaborate arrangement. So there they need some experts in different fields for sacrifices, etc. So then they have to call other people. In this case, they can call some great sages in to do the ceremonies. But other ceremonies, they can be done personally as well. But nevertheless, the person who sponsors the ceremony gets the result. The sponsor, the yajaman, he's the one that gets the result from the sacrifices done by the priests.
Nityananda Prabhu comes in for intervening the mercy.
In that case, it can be part of Leela. There's no particular commentary on that, that was an arrangement, because it is also said that they were reincarnations of Jaya and Vijaya, etc. So we can say that's also part of Leela. We can even say that Hiranyakasipu is a part of the Leela also, because that was, he was actually, you know, Jaya and Vijaya reincarnated. So in that sense, we can say it's part of Leela.
Mm-hmm.